Hello and welcome to our podcast here at Elim Church in Swanley. You are joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper and Simon Pinchbeck this morning. We just want to say we welcome our friend back to Elim Church. He comes here every other week. We are so blessed to have him with us, and we're just going to be discussing that great word, that word of Jesus.
We're going to be talking about Jesus, Ben, but it's great to be back in the home of truth.
It's good to have you here, my friend.
You know, I can't believe it. It's pouring down with rain on the M25. There's wind, there's hail, there's snow, there's sleet. But Swanley, bathed in sunshine. And we're sitting here, Ben, ain't we? In Hawaiian shirts. Pina coladas.
The sun is shining.
On the edge of the swimming pool, the back of the church.
It ain't bad,
is it?
All built off the back end of the prosperity gospel.
it ain't bad being a church leader in Swanley, is it, Ben?
I'll tell you what, I've got everything. I've got a skateboard. Yeah. I've got a go-kart.
Well, I've got to say, Ben, that the hospitality in this place is amazing. We stepped it up with the biscuits today.
They're
on a different level. But as I drove in the Bentley, you know, there was two guys just in the car park, and they said, "We'll take your car for you. We'll ballot it. We'll bring it back."
And they took it.
Yeah, praise it's amazing.
The
Lord. Thanks for that, Ben.
I'll give you the fare to get home.
Oh, it's one of those.
It's one of them. Yeah, don't worry. It happens all the time.
Have you got a bus timetable?
It's so good to have you with us today. Yeah. You know, we love a good old bit of banter and a laugh and a backwards and forwards. But do you know what? There's something about Simon that he's a man that really follows Jesus, and you know, he's not frightened about laying it across the boardroom table. You know, just talking about real life stuff, real men for Christ. Got a great ministry going on there, and he's been ministering and sharing his testimony and the work that God has called him to. And we really thank God that he's with us and we were able to do these podcasts. You know, there's nothing like sitting down with a cup of coffee, a biscuit, and just talking about Jesus and being real, because we are living in a world, 2020, I don't mention that word, the pandemic, but it's just so crazy with all the things that are going on. We know everything's scriptural at the moment, but, you know, when you look at humanity, we need strengthening.
We need Jesus.
We're tired of religion. We're tired of the cassocks. We're tired of the colours.
Oh, man.
We're tired of religion.
Wow.
You know, it's just like, I'm going to be honest, I need Jesus like never before.
I'll put it out there. We're tired of church, as it was.
I'm tired of church.
But
silence, because the reality is that this nation, we need Jesus Christ. From number 10 Downing Street, through all the corridors of Parliament, through every church, every denomination, through every believer, through atheistic stuff that's going on, schools, colleges, businesses. You know, this is a time where the UK is so spiritually thin, but the occult is very strong.
It's strong, Ben, and what's the alternative? The alternative, really, we're looking to a chasm, mate. We're looking.
There we are.
Yeah, and one of the things that you're talking about, you mentioned the occult there, and it's very, very powerful. It runs through. We've just been chatting. If you know what to look for, and you know what it's all about, then you'll see it running through every seam of society throughout.
Yes. Yeah.
And we got something coming up in this country, which is it's really taken over as it come over from the States. And in just a few weeks' time, we got something called Halloween, haven't we?
Yeah, and you can see it's been taken on by the shops and the businesses as a commercial, almost cover up. When actually, it's Satan's agents. If you are pushing Halloween in a store, in a shop, you are working for the occult. It doesn't matter how big your store is. It doesn't matter what label you got over the door. If you are pushing anything to do with Halloween, you are in the very throw of occultic activity.
But the enemy's been very, very cute on this, hasn't he?
Very.
Because he's wrapping it up as a bit of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Get the kids dressed up.
Dress your kid up as a demon.
Come on.
Dress him up as a walking dead, as a zombie. Dress your kid up as this. But get them, sending them out to people's houses. Not the door. Yeah, it's a bit of fun.
Oh, we got you some sweets on the other side of the door.
But it's not a bit of fun, is it?
It's not. Satanic worship.
Deadly, deadly serious. And, yeah. And I would say if you're a Christian parent out there, you should. This is not funny. This is not a bit of a joke. Don't bow to peer pressure. Don't let your kids
but
do
you,
this
you've
stuff.
Said something that's the issue we got, is it's the peer pressure. That's the left-hand side of my house, the right-hand side of my house are doing it, so I better engage in it. The kids are screaming, kicking up and down. Christian parents know, but because the church hasn't preached on it over the years, have just almost fluffed over it, have almost tried to bring it in the doors in a way of maybe doing light parties and all that sort of stuff and trying to do an alternative rather than the preachers and the leaders of the church preaching it and giving it out. That's where we sit.
This is a pagan festival that's celebrating the dead. And even if you do your research. Do your research. And if we're not telling the truth, then come back to us. But I'm telling you, you'll find that even putting a pumpkin outside of your door is an invitation to demonic spirits to come into your house.
Yeah.
Dressing your kid up as a dressing your child up as a demon, as an undead. It's an antenna to demonic spirits coming in to your family. See what happens afterwards. Do your research. Don't just listen to us. Research this stuff. Research all the pagan stuff that's creeping in across.
Do you know what? When you said creeping in, I honestly think, Simon, the church is more pagan than it is Christian. With some of the things that are going on
in
church.
That's a big statement, isn't it?
It is a big statement, I want someone to tell me and whip me and go, no, you got it wrong, Ben. It's all for Jesus. Is the church all for Jesus? Or is it all for self? Who are we worshipping in the denomination? And I use that across every platform. What are we worshipping in the Pentecostal movement? In the state church, Church of England? In Catholicism? Who are we worshipping? Who do we lift up?
Yeah.
Jesus or idols, or are we lifting up ritualistic stuff? Are we following Jesus, or are we following a pattern that has been brought in by a hidden agenda, but it's got the label of church?
You know, that's a great point, because the most important thing for any Christian who calls himself a born-again believer the most important thing in your walk is your relationship with Jesus Christ.
And your relationship with Jesus is not always going to be holy, is not always going to be pure. You're going to have battles, you're going to have a roller coaster ride, because as the scripture says, and as we are talking about men and religion and all that, what you find is that spiritual warfare. So when you look in a lot of churches...
What did you just say then?
I used a word called spiritual warfare.
I've never heard
that before in a church. They've never preached on that. They don't... I think a lot of churches take Ephesians out the Bible.
There's
and they don't talk about the armour of God at all.
No, there's no spiritual realms, man. No, we're all... Yeah, we're all walking in grace and
grace
and
is everything. Oh, I love you, brother. I love your sister.
Listen.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian man or woman, a born-again, spirit-filled believer, your life will be a mixture of blessings and battles.
Yeah, that's right.
And the sooner you become aware that there's a spiritual battle out there for your soul.
That's right.
And for other people's souls, that is when the reality comes in and you start to take listen and read what it says in the Bible, because our weapons of warfare aren't carnal.
It's not actually against brother and sister.
No.
It's not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities in heavenly realms, the demonic forces. So when you have the label of church, and we have to be really careful where we sit as believers, is what does that church that I go to, that I've been to, what is its doctrine and what is its preaching? Does it talk about God said let there be light, creation, done, that's a good one, that's done? Does it talk about sin? Does it talk about hell? Does it talk about heaven? Does it talk about Jesus? Does it talk about the blood? There are a few key things that the church, the leaders, need to be pressing all day long.
I tell you one thing you won't hear in many churches, and that's a talk on the demonic. However, it says in the clearly says in the gospel, I think it's in Mark, you might correct me, but it says, go out and preach the gospel to all corners, heal the sick, cast out demons.
Cast out demons. We've got a lot of caster sugar.
We've
got a lot of sugar.
Where are we seeing that? Where are we seeing the deliverance?
We're not.
And a lot of this stuff that, especially the depression and all that stuff, it's spiritual. And could easily, not say easily, but could be shortcutted rather than going down the route of taking pills and all that sort of stuff. Get someone who knows about this stuff and pray this stuff through. I'll give you an example, Ben. And it's just come to me, to be honest with you, and I think we should mention this. It was one of the most demonic things out there under the banner of fellowship is Freemasonry.
Freemasonry, of course.
And I was involved with that as a police officer. I just thought it was a group of guys coming together.
Yeah.
All the police officers there, it might give me a leg up at some stage.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of the oaths and some of the stuff that you go through on that stuff with that masonry is very, very dark and demonic. And I went up and they called it, I was the master of the lodge and then the past master, and then I went on to do other things. And it wasn't until a few years ago, I think it was 2017, I met a guy that Andy Smith, good mate of mine, him and his wife, they deal in deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got to deal with this Mason stuff that I've been involved with. And we sat in his house, and for 2 hours we prayed through every single thing. LL Ministries do a great thing on the Masonic, and we just prayed through all of that stuff. We got rid of all that stuff. And believe me, there was stuff in there that was creating barriers, stopping stuff in my own personal life. And here's the deal, right? That was on a Monday night. On the Thursday, my stepfather had died a number of years before. But on the Thursday, I went to see my mother, and I walked in the house. And as soon as I walked in the house, Ben, I felt sick. I felt nauseous. I felt sick.
You felt spiritual oppression.
I said to her, "Are you still hanging on to a bit of his masonry stuff?"
Yeah.
And she said, "Yeah, there's a suitcase upstairs with the stuff in." I had to get rid of that stuff. Got rid of it.
Dealt with it.
Everything was fine then.
Praise God.
This thing is real. And believe me, to finish, I don't know if you want to talk a bit more, but to finish for me on this Mason stuff, if you've ever been asked to join the Masons, if you've got a relative that's involved with this stuff, it needs to be prayed through, because this stuff has tentacles that reach out throughout society and reach out into your life, and it's got to be stopped, Ben.
And it hides under the banner of charitable, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, we're giving, we're doing great work, and they do great work. You can't swerve that one. But what you got to look is who is it about? Who's it for? And who are you worshiping?
Who are you worshiping?
Because you are worshiping. Worshiping.
They call it the great architect of the universe.
Yeah. Man. And who does that come back to?
There's only one place.
Yeah. When you look how, and that's what we find ourselves is the enemy is very clever of using an organization. He uses stuff at a very low level. And he keeps people in that because it comes under the charitable banner. It comes under the good works. You know, we're doing good. We're doing this. We're doing that. So the enemy uses that. But when you climb and you start to look in the satanic side of that sort of stuff, and when you go at the rituals and you look, it's just worshiping Lucifer.
At the end of the day,
at the top of the Christmas tree,
that gets revealed.
You will find not a fairy. You will find Lucifer. You really will, won't you?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's demonic, occultic.
Yeah.
Rituals.
Man, and you said it, you know, because the enemy is not walking around with a pitchfork and horns, mate. He's masquerading as an angel of light in churches all over the place.
All over the place. So,
because he's an infiltrator and an imitator.
Yeah.
And listen, we've got so much stuff in the Bible that tells us all about him.
So,
but we've got so much stuff in the Bible to tell us how to fight this stuff.
Look at Simon.
How to protect ourselves against this stuff.
Correct, yeah.
And walk in freedom behind the shield of faith, which is Jesus Christ.
That's it. And then you look at Simon the Sorcerer. Simon the Sorcerer in the New Testament, you know. The people around him said, he's like God. Look what he's doing. He's doing great things. And he is mimicking what God was doing. And we see that throughout everything. You know, talking about Halloween, you talk about Freemasonry, you talk about Illuminati, you talk about all this occultic activity. You talk about white magic, black magic. The church isn't talking about occultic activity. And in the UK, we are under severe occultic pressure.
Huge.
We've opened the gateway. Now, what I want to say is we've opened the spiritual gateway to Europe. We've opened the spiritual gateway to Europe.
Yeah.
And when you go in the Word of God and you see what Europe and where it sprung from, without going into the wilderness, we're not talking about the political arrangements. We're talking about the forces of darkness that come across the channel. Now, people might laugh about this, but when you understand how Europe, how it come together, all the forces, and you go right back, and the gods they serve, the foreign gods, the sun gods, the fertility gods, or when you look at the demonic forces and what is the mainstream religion of that, when you look at all that stuff, when you put that together, I thank God that we embrace as a nation, we embrace those that really need rehoming, coming across the channel, but also coming above the sea line, above the skyline, above the cloud line. There is a demonic force that has infiltrated and poisoned the system of the UK, and it uses the word politics to bring hidden agendas that are completely anti-Christ. So when we look at the UK, we have a lot of oppression.
I mean, you've made some great points there, Ben. You really have, because a lot of these countries out there have taken the name of God out of all of their political and justice, judicial processes, whereby it always was there. God was always there.
Yes.
And places would pray before they... That's all gone. And now it's given the opportunity in this pandemic for the forces of evil, if you like, to shut down places of worship. And I was saying to you just before, I saw something where Chris Cuomo, the governor of New York State, said that if churches don't obey the law to lock down and don't open and don't gather and don't worship, we will forcibly shut them down and arrest the leaders.
So when you look at this story, when you really understand, now here and around the world, we can come into church, 30 banner, whatever it is, according to whatever you are, the size of the church, according to your fire regulations and all that. But you can come into church, we've got to wear a mask, okay? I'm all for protecting people. I'm very respectful of helping and protecting and doing what has to be done, I get that and I understand that. But behind the mask, now I'm not talking about the person, hidden behind the mask of the word, the mask, is an agenda to stop worship. Now we all know this. If the enemy can stop worship, if this guy that you're talking about gets his way to shut down and put people in prison, we are clearly at the end of time.
But
because what we see in Korea, what we see in North Korea and China, where all this has been happening for goodness knows how many years, now we're starting to see it in America. We're starting to see it here. But we have been so caught up in the word revival, when actually there's no revival. No revival. Suddenly this pandemic has come and it has hit this nation so hard spiritually. Men and women are confused about their faith.
They are, Ben, and we could talk a lot about that. But listen, you know, God always uses stuff.
And that's what we've got to understand.
During this particular period of time, he's looking for men and women
Hallelujah.
To raise their hands and go, Lord, I ain't having any of this. I'm standing on the truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to proclaim his name. And what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Lord, I'm ready and willing to go where not my will, but your will be done in my life. And this, you know, listen, this is where we're at with the real men for Christ, to be honest with you. That's because we the Lord wants to see real men. He's had enough.
And that's
He's
what
had
we're
enough
about.
Of people who just sit in doing nothing. Look, if you just sit and doing nothing, that's fine. I don't have a problem with you at all. But if you're looking to do a little bit more with your faith, you know, then get in touch.
Get in touch with
us at the Real Men for Christ. Because we had our first meeting the other... Let me tell you, we had our first meeting last Thursday. And it was a small gathering of guys... and as you always say, we had seven guys there, and with the Lord, we had ten. Do you know what I mean? So
that's right.
So we had seven guys there, but we spoke about Jesus Christ, and we spoke about the struggles of men, and everybody was on the same page.
Exactly.
Everybody loved it because they could openly say how they felt. Which has been suppressed in many churches.
So we've come out of the four walls of the church. We've got seven men.
Yeah.
You've got seven men being real, able to speak without being blacklisted. Yeah.
Totally.
And able to be honest, to talk about Jesus, to have time to be listened to. So what we have found ourselves in this nation, we've been building and building and building and building buildings and not building people.
We have, yeah, totally. And if we've been building people, we've been giving them the wrong information anyway, haven't we?
Building the wrong person. You can have it now, you'll have no problems. But now the pandemic has swung through the door and the church is weak, is spiritually weak. You can't say that any other way. So now we see why we have a struggle with men and faith, because the church hasn't preached the blood of Jesus, the power of Christ, you know, and what you can do with Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a powerful point you're making there, Ben. Really good. The Spirit speaking for you today powerfully, because what you can do with Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
And here's the deal, Ben.
Yeah.
If it's you and Jesus, you're in the majority.
I'm a winner.
You're in the majority. It don't matter how many
it
people are out there.
But what you will find is, like, look at all the denominations. What we have to look at is the church that I'm going to go back to, the church that I will worship in. If Jesus isn't the center of that church or that denomination, I've got to leave.
Yeah.
Because we are living Armageddon. Isn't too far ahead. The Lord is returning. We are living in beginning of birth pains. We're in Revelation. There is a short window. There is a very short window open, the opportunity for humanity to repent.
Ben, this might sound a bit strange, but we're in good times. Why?
Because
we're in bad times.
Exactly.
And it's getting worse. Yes. So it's getting better because the Lord's coming back and we know that.
And it's been prophesied.
Here's the thing. We are up against an enemy that we know has been defeated. The enemy's been defeated. He was defeated at the cross.
Yeah.
And since then, he's been fighting hard to take down as many people and families as he could. But he's organised. He's
very organised.
He's got. It's like a military operation.
Very organised.
And we're not.
No.
And we've got no training. So what we've got, you know, bless them, we've got men's ministries out there talking about sausage rolls rather than talking about...
Don't get me on the curry vibe, no.
Rather than talking about what we need to do to be trained up as a small group of people, like a renegade force, nameless, faceless, twos and threes, getting in behind enemy lines, advancing the kingdom.
That's right.
That's
Joshua's and Caleb's.
Yeah, totally. That's the training.
We are able.
But the church is too busy going off on another direction to say, listen, let's step it back and let's train these men and women up
for spiritual warfare.
And it's all there in the Bible. You don't have to look any further.
We've been trained for material gain and not for spiritual warfare. We haven't been told how to deal with the issues. I know the battle belongs to the Lord, but when you look at Joshua, when you study Joshua's life and Joshua and Caleb, they went into the you know, Joshua and Caleb, they went out, they looked above the parapet, you know, and the majority with them brought a bad report. We're not, you've seen the size of the giants, have you seen this, have you seen that? What? No, it's impossible to do that. But they said, our God is able. I look to God.
Who was the king in the old? You love the Old Testament, because you bang on it about it all the time, and it's great. But who was the king who stood on the ramparts and he looked out, and all he could see was a massive army coming?
King Jehoshaphat. I love Jehoshaphat.
And there's
a real man for Christ.
And then the Lord said to him, "No, look again."
Yeah.
And he saw a multitude of angels, didn't he?
He said,
this is how you're going to win. Do not be dismayed or be discouraged.
That's right. So
Deuteronomy 31, 38, or whatever it is, 38, 31, you know. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll go before you.
Now, when you look at King Jehoshaphat, when he looked over the hill, and there was three types of enemy coming, he actually said, we're not able to do this.
That's what he said.
We're not actually able to do this. So the Bible says that he fell to his face. He sought the Lord first. So he seeked and he spent time there, and he brought everybody to fasting and prayer. And they'd done that through the power of worship as well. They'd done that, and God took them. God did not take the enemy out. They actually went down in the valley, and they was told to go and confront the enemy and just worship. That's bananas. When you think about that, logically, they're not fighting men and women. They got no weaponry. They got no armoury. They got nothing. But what they had was worship.
And total submission.
And surrender.
And that's the point. That's the great point you made, where he got down on his face and said, I can't do this.
I can't do this.
You're at the end of yourself.
I'm at the end of self. And when a man comes to...
Right, I love it, I love it.
When a man actually, like me, I've realised I'm at the end of myself every day.
Totally, before you get up.
Honestly, before I get up, I'm in this position where I literally... I need
before
Jesus all the time.
Before I put my skinny jeans on,
before I put my skinny jeans on, my white T-shirt, and I pump myself up, and I put my cap on, my sunglasses, and cover myself in fake tan, get in a Merc, drive up to the church. Before I get out of bed, in me backside hanging out my trousers, I walk up the road with my shopping trolley, my skateboard in there, and there's, oh, woe is me, tearing me clothes, you know, ashes, doing a little sacrifice in the park.
Yeah.
You know, running around the town naked like a mad prophet. No, seriously, look.
Approaching people in the car park.
Jesus loves you. Running around in the field.
You're the guy with a billboard.
Yeah, I'm the guy with a billboard.
The end is nigh.
Yeah. So coming back, very holy and very seriously. Coming back to this point, right, I've actually realised that I need Jesus like never before in my life. I love the denomination that I'm under. Now, when I say that, don't get me wrong, all the listeners, I'm not a worshipper of any denomination. But the denomination I'm under, that are Bible-based, you know. Everyone's got their issues with denominations. So I've actually realised that I need Jesus over everything in my life. And I've come to understand that if I don't keep repenting and keep surrendering, help me, God. Help me, God. Now, that's not a woe, oh, woe is me. But because where we sit spiritually, if I do not have this relationship with Jesus, I won't make this life. I do not have the strength in myself anymore. I have reached the end of the road. And I have leaped off the cliff. And if he don't catch me... You know, it's like Indiana Jones. You know,
when he walks off the Temple of Doom where he...
He's just...
Oh no, it's the
he walks off the off that cliff, doesn't it? When they put the it's like almost walking on water, and I've got everything breaking out in my life everywhere that you could ever want. All sorts of things going on, everything going on everywhere. Because this is what we're about. We're about real men for Christ. Yeah. And I've come to the end of the road where I can't do anything without him. I've got to surrender everything to him. Because almost everything I touch this day and age is trouble. But he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Let me tell you, you're in a great place.
I'm in a great place.
You're
but my
in
flesh,
absolutely great place spiritually.
Spiritually. My flesh is telling me,
yeah,
there's no way forward.
Yeah, yeah.
The Spirit of God in me is telling me, we can do this.
Mate.
You can do this. You just walk. Now, the church, I'm talking about the broad, I'm talking about the churches on the Broadway. The Las Vegas church. It's lights, it's got backdrops.
Oh, it's
got pretty men and women.
It wants
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're standing up there. They're perfect. They're smooth.
So encouraging. They want to get in there.
I've never seen a wrinkly worship leader.
No, you won't.
I've never seen someone over the age of 25 worshipping Jesus on a stage. They're all
singing the 7-Eleven songs.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen. You know what I'm saying, right? So I've come to the point.
7 words, 11 times. It gets you.
Yeah. I need Jesus.
Yeah.
Simon, I need Jesus.
Listen, I've got to tell you.
I need Jesus more.
I love what you're saying, and I love.
Because
I'm sitting across.
I cannot live without him.
I'm sitting across from a guy who's totally sold out for Jesus, because
we got to be careful
during this lockdown. I reached exactly the same space as you.
Yeah,
that I realised that I go around the country and I probably obviously not this year, but most years I speak about 40-50 times giving testimony
and stuff like that.
And I had to look back.
Yeah.
During the lockdown, and take a real good look, was I using Jesus to write my story, or was I allowing Jesus to write his story through me? Because there's the power. Because if we use Jesus as a genie in a bowl,
yeah,
then there ain't much power there. But if we use him to allow him to come in, and like you said, I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. I'm nothing without Jesus Christ. All the scriptures mean nothing without what Jesus has done.
What did Jesus say? I can do nothing without the Father.
And that's the thing. So once you start following Jesus, it'll lead you to the Father.
It'll lead you to the Father.
Oh, mate, and that's amazing. But Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine. You are grafted into the vine. You can do nothing apart from me.
That's right.
And when you hear that and understand that, then he can use you.
He can use you.
He can use you for power. He can use you.
Yeah.
Of course, God can use you. It says in, I think it's Corinthians, that he uses the foolish things to confound the wise.
But if
you reach that stage like you are now, where self is gone, and all you're lying on the floor saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done.
But that's an everyday occurrence.
Has to be every single day.
Almost AM and PM.
And it's something. It's something I want to talk about in the next podcast that we're moving on to, which is, what does it mean to be born again? We can talk about that in the next podcast. But this spiritual warfare, we're not going to defeat it without Jesus Christ.
No.
And, the thing is, we have got so much weapons in our armoury in the scriptures. But we cannot use that without we just give ourselves totally to Jesus.
Yeah.
I speak out Psalm 91. I've got it in memory. You speak it out.
My mum's favourite psalm that was.
Every single day. It's a psalm of protection.
Yeah.
And what it says in there, he will command his angels concerning you
to
guard you in all your ways. And that's very interesting.
That is really interesting.
The angel that is your guardian angel, which sometimes we take for as a joke or whatever, but there's an angel, if you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you've got guardian angels watching over you.
Powerful.
Now, you either put them to work, or
or
they're sitting in the corner not doing a lot.
Yeah.
But the angels can only protect you if you stay in the umbrella of Jesus Christ.
Now, that is a subject. staying in Jesus. We know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we know when you talk about being born again, right, okay. So I'm a believer. I'm a man in Christ. Now, I look at the man, Christ. He came to this earth. The Bible says the Word became flesh. That's really significant. He became flesh. He was spiritual. He was before time. He created time. He is the great I am. So we understand that, as it says in John, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So when we go back a little bit to what we were talking about, when he said, I can do nothing without the Father. Yeah, and I'm doing the will of the Father. Now, we understand. Now, this blows my head completely.
I'm the way, the
off.
Truth, and life.
Yeah, yeah. God, man, when I actually think about the power of this, that Christ humbled himself, came down, used the dressing room of Mary to pop out into the world as a baby, as a child, and he humbled himself.
This is an upside down kingdom, isn't it?
It is an upside down, completely the opposite to religion, to the organised.
And completely opposite to the world.
Completely opposite.
Because we would expect a mighty king coming flowing down.
He stooped down from heaven.
And allowed himself.
Shows a young girl that was out of wedlock and all the stuff, yeah, chose this. Yeah. This arena to reveal himself to the world. So when I look at Christ, I see a real man.
Oh, totally.
And the Bible says the man, Christ Jesus. Now, when you think about that, Lucifer, when he was tempting Christ in them days of temptation in the wilderness, Lucifer knows the word of God. So when Christ... What did Christ do against the enemy? He just said, it is written. So all I've got to understand is I've just got to know Genesis to Revelation. Yeah. If I stay in the Word of God, and you talk about Psalm 91.
Well, the enemy used it, didn't he?
He used it, Deuteronomy. He used the word.
He used it, yeah, against Jesus. He said your angels will catch you.
So the enemy is using the Word against the Word.
Yeah,
he has got so much front to confront the word with his own word.
It's just a half a degree from the truth.
It's hard because he manipulates the word, yeah, just a slight degree.
Just a slight degree.
So where is my measuring rod this day and age? I cannot look to religion. I cannot look to denominations. I've got to look to Jesus.
Totally. Yeah.
So I need to throw all literature off my shelves, and I just need the Word of God. Just any church leaders that are out there, get yourself a Bible.
Get yourself a Bible.
Get yourself a Bible.
It can't make any simpler than that, man.
I'm being a bit flippant, you know. Get in the Word of God, because that is the power.
And get in the Word of God in the Spirit. And that will give you the power to, because we've got it all there, you know. Yeah. And if we're coming back to men and how they operate, well, what happens sometimes, Ben, is that, as I said, you know, those angels, and we don't want to go down that route because the Bible clearly tells us we don't worship angels.
But there's
angels, there's heavenly beings looking out for us when we're in the will of God.
Yeah, that's right.
When we're under the umbrella, when you step out of the umbrella, you get wet, don't you?
When
you stay under the umbrella, that which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
See, what happens is, a lot of guys, they'll jump on board and they'll think this is a good idea, not necessarily a God idea, is it? And they'll start running off before Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
They'll start running off, Jesus will say, "Well, you've got to stay with me and follow me. I can't be with you if you're running off because I haven't started that, and I'm not going
to
finish."
What did he say to the prophet? What are you doing over there? What are you doing over in the cliff? What are you doing? You're so far off the point.
I'll give you a practical demonstration. I mean, I go for a run most mornings, but I call it a run. It probably is a fast jog these days, you know. And I'm jogging along the other day, and there's a guy up in front of me, and I thought, I'm catching this guy up. Wow, you know, this is, for me at my age, you know, crikey, I'm catching this fellow up. I thought, I put on the turbo charge, I'm going to overtake
him. I'm in the door.
So, bang, I've gone past him, and I thought, yes, I've gone past this fella. Brilliant. Got a bit of the road and gone, where am I? The turning I should have taken was a quarter mile back.
Because you're concentrating on going fast.
Because I was concentrating on this fella
overtaking.
And looking at him and what he was doing, rather than what I was supposed to be doing. And that's what happens in our Christian culture, in our culture. We look at other things and think, yeah, that's great.
I'm running.
But we come out of the umbrella of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We come out of the protection. And that's when the enemy goes,
he's going to exhaust himself.
He's out of your protection.
He's gone down the wrong road.
I see many, and I've gone down the route myself, where you start off doing things.
Yeah.
And the enemy don't mind that. He don't mind if you start something new. Why? Because he's seen hundreds of thousands of Christian men and women start something new. Yeah. What worries him is when you persevere and you get into the will of God and you endure.
Yeah.
Because he'll throw all sorts of things at you.
He'll throw,
but if you're in the will of God, like, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, for the real men for Christ, wasn't something that just jumped out one day and thought we'd do this. No. We've been talking, me and SK Tell have been talking for over 4 years.
Years.
Establishing.
Years. And probably further back than that.
Further
the seed
back
was
that.
Sown, got a God seed.
And Ez is a great guy going, we're not going to run before the Lord, we're just going to sit behind him. And here's a thing. So this week, last week rather, we did a testimony video with a guy called John Moncur. Now, John Moncur was a Premiership footballer with West Ham. And listen, his testimony's out there on the Real Men for Christ. And he's got a great testimony, Ben. He's got
Superb.
An awesome testimony.
Yeah.
And the great thing about John's testimony is that not only did he come to faith as a Premiership footballer...
Mm-hmm.
All his family came to faith after him.
Wow.
So all his three boys, he's, you know,
what a story.
He's great. But anyway, we did this video and we were so excited, but the thing wouldn't upload. We were doing exactly the same thing as we've always done.
Yeah.
It would not upload. It would get so far and it would drop out.
I've experienced it.
It would drop out.
Yeah.
Ez called me on Sunday. He said, man, I'm feeling this is spiritual.
It is.
So we just started praying about it in the spiritual, and we use the word bind. So we bound anything that was stopping this video getting through. Because if we look at Daniel 10, Daniel's prayers were answered, but they're being stopped by something called a Prince of Persia, which is a demonic being in the demonic realms that the devil was using. And God had to send his angel... Was it Michael? I think came and had to defeat this demon before. And these things are happening. Don't think these are just stories.
It's not.
These happens over your life.
A mystical story.
No,
this is real.
This is real stuff. So we was binding anything that was coming again, putting it at the foot of the cross. And Monday lunchtime, the video went up.
Praise God.
The video went up, and to this point, we've had, and this is good for us, because don't forget we're a Christian genre and speaking about some powerful stuff. To this point, we've had over 200 views already.
Praise God.
On this particular video. And I've gotten reports people are being impacted by this thing already.
That's what we want.
So this is what we're saying. Persevere. Yeah.
Persevere.
James 1:12 says.
Press.
Yeah, persevere. Blessed is a man who perseveres.
Under trial.
Yeah.
Now, that says a lot, doesn't it? And coming back to what we were talking about earlier, when Christ was in the garden, he was sweating droplets of blood.
Yeah.
Not my will, your will be done. The will of the Father.
Wow.
You know,
wow,
and then we talk about Satan talking to Christ, you know, bringing a scripture to him. So it's perseverance.
It's perseverance.
Perseverance. I've got to persevere.
Under trial. Because the Bible says those who endure till the end we'll be saved.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
It says, yeah.
It's all there in the book.
I've got to persevere. Persevere. What a powerful word. I've got to push. I've got to press. When it's hard, it's dark, it's lonely, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord.
Yeah.
Come, Holy Spirit. Guide me. Strengthen me. Look, let me read Psalm 91, what we were talking about earlier. Let me read that out.
Psalm 91. I'll join in with you, brother, and we'll say it together. Yeah.
Come on, then.
Yeah.
It starts off and it says, Psalm 91, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only see, observe with your eyes. Sorry, I'm reading that from the NIV. And see the punishment of the wicked. If you say of the Lord is my refuge, and make Him your most holy dwelling place, no harm will overtake you.
No
disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for it acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
What an amazing psalm. And it's there for everyone. It's there for everyone.
It's there for everybody. For all of us.
Say it in the morning before you go out. Get it. Yeah. Get it. Get wrapped around.
Get it wrapped around your being. Get in the word. Get in the psalm. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest.
In the shadow
of the Almighty.
Yeah.
Getting in Jesus, getting under God.
And He commands His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Yeah.
If you're in the will of God, that's what will happen.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We've got to be in Jesus.
We've got to be in Jesus.
There's no other way but to be in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's nothing more powerful than being in Christ, through Christ, under Him, submitted completely to Him. But that can be a foreign experience for men, because
a lot of men don't want to accept
submission.
The submission thing.
Submission.
I've met a lot of guys, especially self-made men.
Yeah,
who think they've done it all.
Weakness.
This is.
I've
built all this up. This is all about what I've done. And in fact, I've got a great friend. He's now in his 70s over in Ipswich, and he's a great man. I love him to bits. And he said to me, he took on his father's farm. He's built it up now with units. It's massive. It's huge. And he sat back and he'd accepted the Lord. And he sat back and looked and he thought, oh, look what I've done.
Whoa.
And the Lord hit him with that, John 15:5. Yeah. He said, I am the vine.
Yes.
You are grafted in. He said, you can do nothing apart from me. And it hit him like a steam train. And after that, everything he does is for the Lord now.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything he does. He's totally submitted, obedient.
Surrender. That's a big thing to do. For a man to just surrender. And we fight that word so much, surrendering. We're fighting ourselves. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to let this situation beat me. I'm going to fight my way through it. And we're fighting ourselves within ourselves. And rather than going, Lord, help me. Show me the way out of this.
Wouldn't it be better to fight behind Jesus?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to fight behind Jesus?
Yeah.
Let him fight the battles.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
Wouldn't it be better?
Yeah. You look at David. You look at David when he went down, he ran down towards Goliath and he said, you come against me with sword, javelin and spear, but I come against you with the name.
Yeah.
A name. He had just 5 stones and a sling.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's power in the name of Jesus. So we've got, I believe, a bunch of guys, Christian guys, struggling with themselves because they're frightened of surrendering to Jesus, frightened of coming to this place of, and we all know that we reach a point where I can't go no more. I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
Listen,
I'm going to burn out. I'm going to run out. I'm going to almost completely.
Here's the thing, Ben.
Hit the road.
If you're a Christian guy out there, or even a lady out there who's listening to this, and your life's a struggle at the moment. Your life's a struggle. You seem every turn you make seems to lead down another dead end or another problem. It's another battle. You're struggling and battling on your own without Jesus. You know, you've just got to have a look at yourself and have I fully surrendered?
Have I surrendered?
Have I fully made him the absolute Lord of my life?
Yeah, that's right.
Have I made him the Lord of my life?
Mm.
And if the answer's no, then that's why you're struggling.
That's why you're struggling.
Because when you come to the end of yourself and you completely make Jesus Christ your Lord and Saviour.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit.
And he's everything.
Yeah.
And you're nothing.
Yes, that's what we've got to understand.
He's totally everything and you are absolutely nothing. When you come to that point, you see, the Lord...
New beginnings.
God... When he looks at you in the flesh, he can't look at you. You're covered in sin. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, he looks in, there's my son, there's my daughter. Why? Because he can see Jesus Christ shining through you. He sees Jesus Christ in you. Paul says time and time again, Christ in you and you in Christ.
That's it.
And anything else... It can't be you in. You can't be self.
You can't be self.
Or you in your credit card, or you in your Mercedes, or you in your your nice house. No, it's you in Christ, and Christ in you.
It's all with Jesus.
Totally.
Totally with Jesus.
You've got to come back to the cross, ain't
and it's a bit of a foreign area at the moment, isn't it? Because church lockdown, all that sort of stuff, and a lot of people going, it's quiet. It's really quiet on the spiritual front, on the God front, because the church has been beating the drum of the revival drum when actually it's not been revival.
Well, listen to this as well, Ben, is that a lot of guys out there, suddenly, they haven't got the noise of the church. They haven't got the noise of the pastor belting out or the noise of a Bible study or this, that and the other. They're just sitting with themselves.
So, that is a painful place to sit.
And a lot of guys,
you look.
Man, I speak to a lot of younger guys who noise is their life.
Yeah.
If they're not listening to stuff on their phones, if they're not watching the telly, if they're not in, you know, getting stuff spoken.
Stuff. Yeah.
It's an alien place to be.
And what does the Bible say? Be still.
Be still and know
God.
I would advise any Christian out there to have a few moments each day and be very protective of it, as we've said before, where you come to the Lord in a quiet space.
Thank you, Jesus,
And just listen and just say, Lord, and just try and empty your head of all other stuff.
Yeah.
And even if thoughts do come in, just hand them over. It's not going to be easy, that quiet time, but it's vital. It's vital to be re-energized. It's vital to be re-powered up. It's vital to listen to what the Lord's saying.
Yeah.
Instead of just reading off a load of prayers and going, blah, 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 blah,
That's
in
over.
Jesus' name, bang.
Yeah.
No, just sit there. Even if you lie on the floor on your face and just say, Lord, it's all about Jesus. I'll just give my life to you today. I'll completely... Just hand over my heart to you today.
Oh, Lord, please.
I hand you my heart. Lord, I just give you my whole life today.
I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you.
And then just lie there in the stillness. And the Lord will, the Spirit of God will come in and the Lord will re-energize you. Mm. And you'll get up a different person, to be honest with you.
He'll strengthen you for what lies ahead.
He wants to spend... You know, many people many people will, and I'll say the word spout, but they will spout Jeremiah 29:11 at you.
Oh, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
But they don't.
They don't finish it off.
In Jeremiah 29:13.
If you
seek me.
Follow me or seek me with all your heart.
Yeah, you'll find me.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants. It's got to be a heart condition.
It has to be a heart condition.
Yeah.
It can't be an educational exercise. It can't be just a denominational thing. It can't be just... It's got to be an individual time with Christ.
And that's what the revival is.
That's
what revival's coming.
An awakening, a spiritual
awakening.
That's what revival really is.
Not a social awakening.
Not a social awakening, not a gathering.
We'll talk about that maybe in the next one. Nothing like that.
But an individual.
An individual awakening.
That is the greatest thing.
That is the revival. And that is the new revival that's coming.
Yeah.
Each person being individually revived. With getting to know the Lord,
restored,
instead of seeking
healed internally. We're not talking about limbs growing, and what we're talking about is healing from.
Instead of seeking his hand, you're seeking his face, and seek his face, and seek him, and know him, and get to know him, because that's all he wants from you.
So he wants.
He don't want nothing. All the works you've done, Isaiah says, it's like filthy rags. All the stuff we do.
Yeah.
He just wants your heart. And total submission, so that then he can use you.
Yeah, that's right. And then we come into the area of Ephesians 2. By grace you've been saved.
Yeah.
Not by works.
Wow.
Doesn't matter how hard you work.
Totally.
Doesn't matter how many churches you build. Without being saved, following Jesus. You can build as many churches as you like.
Yeah, and so
but if it's not of God, works will not get you in the kingdom.
What's going to happen? See, what will happen, Ben, if when you finally meet your maker and he goes and you go, Lord, I built this church up, I built that church up, but he'll just go, well, that's great because we haven't had a church like that before, in the thousands. And what were you? I was the governor of the Bank of England. Well. Wow, we've never had one of them in here before. What did you do? Well, I was a great evangelist, Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was all about you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was all about you because I could see your heart. And when he's sitting across from you and then red eyes are beaming into you and going, I can see your heart. I can see your motives. It was all about you.
All
it was
about
more
me.
About you than my son Jesus Christ.
You can build anything with money.
Wow.
You can build anything with money.
Oh,
but go and do it with faith. Leave the checkbook in the church drawer. Go and plant a church with nothing. But go and plant the church with Jesus. Don't take your checkbook. Don't build a ministry on money. Don't build it with money. Just build it. The just shall live by faith. We carry this on. Carry this on. You know, we can talk forever. You know, but it's spirit filled, and I just want to say thank you to Simon. We're going to carry this on. We always do too. We're back to back, and they go out, and we thank God for bringing Simon over to us here, and you can feel something in this room today, can't you? You can feel the presence of God today. You know that God is moving in the last hours. And we thank Simon for his. Commitment to Jesus. Thank God for his life and his family. And Simon, would you just, as we always do, close in prayer? Can you bring us to close in prayer as we say good night to everybody?
Yeah, definitely. And let's just say, I don't know if anything's touched anybody out there who's listened to this and go, you know, this Jesus you're talking about, he sounds absolutely just what I want. I'm fed up with all the stuff in the world. I'm fed up with all the material things. I'm fed up with everything that the world's thrown at me. I just want someone who's gonna look at me for who I am and just love me for who I am. And I want to get rid of all that stuff. So if that's you out there, then I'm gonna lead you in a lot of prayer, the same prayers I've always do on these podcasts, and it's just a simple prayer. It's a prayer of Heavenly Father, If you want this prayer, if you want Jesus in your life, then say this prayer, and at the end we'll say amen. Heavenly Father, forgive me for all the nonsense, all the stuff I've been following, for all the stuff that I've been getting involved with. And if anything comes to mind, just say it out loud. The stuff I've been putting before you, God, the idolatry in the worship of stuff.
Yes, Lord.
I put it all to one side now. I've turned my back away from that. I ask for your forgiveness, and I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, into my life to be my Lord and Saviour.
Amen.
From this day forward, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, me and Ben believe that if you said that prayer and you meant that prayer in the fullness of your heart, then we believe that you've been born again. And hey, we'd like to walk with you. We'd like to know who you are. We'd like to get to know you. So if there's any way that you can respond to this podcast, that would be awesome. Ben, but from the the room in sunny Swanley, we'll
carry on.
Yeah, we'll carry on. It was a beautiful session. And
yeah, thanks, Simon, for your time. And may God bless everyone that's listening. Please share everything we do here in Ealing Church in Swanley. You've been listening to myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, and our good friend Simon Pinchbeck of Real Men for Christ. We will carry this conversation on, but stay safe. When I mean stay safe, I mean stay in Jesus.
Stay safe in the faith.
Stay safe in the faith, under the blood of Christ. God bless you. Take care.
Yeah.